each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Here we go. We're going to trip right in.
It's going to be one of those days.
It just came from a funeral. What's new, right?
What's new, right?
Well, we had so many in the last few weeks for whatever reason. But I was thinking, you know, that's a mortician will never go out of business, right?
No.
Yeah, no. But anyway, welcome everybody. I am Father Anthony. I'm your brother. I share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, here with Tony and Nick over there. And I'm making this transition, as I say, from Mass right into the studio, and so I have no idea what we're going to do. I really do. I have an idea, but I just would like to have had some time to review.
Think about it, right?
This, yeah. How are you doing?
Having one of those days.
Really? I guess we all are, huh?
Yeah. So I can understand exactly how you feel.
Yeah, it feels like we kind of slipped it back into a little bit of the winter.
Well, I do like this.
You like it?
And yeah. I think this is part of my problem.
You like the dark and the
I like
dreary
the dark, the yes.
Okay. Well,
yes.
It's a
yes. Maybe. I don't know if that says much about me, but
well, it says a lot about you. But you know, yeah. I'm not going to go into. I'm not going to psychoanalyze. I'm not a psychologist. Just a man of faith. That's all. Yeah. And but faith is good psychology. I think
you know, the best. So. I think
anyway, and that's one of the things. You know that this idea that we're supposed to be happy. People wonder they're sick because they don't know why they're not happy.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between happiness and joy. Mm-hmm. And then when you don't expect that you've got to be on the top of, you know, it's on the top of the world and flying high, as I say so often, but if you just accept the fact that life, as Jesus said, I keep repeating this over and over that, Jesus Christ did not deceive us. In any way whatsoever, he said, "In this world, you're going to have troubles, but take courage and be at peace, because I've conquered the world." And he says that in many ways through the whole of the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, it still baffles, it boggles my mind that we have so sanitized or domesticated. The generally speaking, I would say the gospel message, which is a message of good news, and that good news is repent of your sins and be converted, open your heart, allow Christ into your life, and you'll know how to, you know who you are, you know how to live, right?
Yeah.
And you know where you're going. And so we, because his way is not an easy way, and he didn't deceive us in that regard. When somebody chooses Christ to follow him, it's you're choosing a hard way,
mm-hmm.
the hard way. But all of it, in reality, all of life is hard. But we get these respites, we get these moments of grace, and we need to be festive. You know, there's got to be a place for festivity, for you think, you know, I'm a people watcher, you know, so I like the That's why I like when I go to Rome or anywhere. I like to watch the people. I love the different cultures and all that. And the sad thing about our world today is that because of the media and social media, movies, television, you know, people have access to so much, and it there is this gradual but also quite rapid chipping away at culture, you know. And I mention this the last time we were on? I do not recall, but I was watching the courting customs of the Hasidic Jewish people, some of the, and different Hasidic Jews, they have different communities.
But you said a little bit about it, but it's good to go back because it's been a week.
Yeah, so I thought it was interesting because they really hold to tradition, and they it's an enclosed society, so they're really they're turned in on themselves, and then certainly to God. But they keep themselves insulated from the world outside themselves. We do not do that because we're. I should say that, you know, you take a city like Chicago in its day, when you had your communities that were divided by ethnicities, right, mm-hmm. or national identity, whether it be Polish, whether it be Irish, whether it be Greek, whether it be Italian, Mexican, the only community that really, it seems to me, that does not have its own, or has never had its own neighborhood, Chicago is a city of neighborhoods, would be the Filipino people. They just kind of blend everywhere, mm-hmm. it seems. But each community had its, and they were immigrant, you know, they all started as immigrant communities, and so every nation had its own customs, its own traditions. Even within the church, you had their different cultural traditions, the folk traditions, I guess, of different communities, and they try to preserve that. It's harder and harder to do that as there's all this becomes really blurred. But the communities that really do insulate, like the Hasidic Jewish people, yeah, they keep all these traditions, and some of them are kind of seemingly odd. I don't know, you know, if that's the right word. I don't mean to speak
against. Odd to us.
Well, odd to us, yeah. Like, you know,
when you think about it, yeah.
Like the women have to have their head covered, mm-hmm. but they can wear a wig, but they can't show their natural hair, so they have to wear wigs, mm-hmm. or a headdress. I understand the headdress, but I don't understand the wig. You know, and of course the men still. I see them in the airport when I'm flying. Oftentimes, actually, they have the big black hat, the top mm-hmm. hat, and
I've seen that.
The coat and the, yeah. What do they call that? The
curls.
The curls, yeah. Sideburns or whatever.
Sideburns.
And the socks, you know, the high socks. And mm-hmm. it's really like the Amish people, too, you know, mm-hmm. kind of frozen in a particular time in history. In Minnesota, there's a lot of Amish communities.
Oh, I'm sorry, this might be a bad thing to be thinking, but I never see the Amish rioting or the Amish wanting rights, things like that.
Yeah,
I think that's the beauty of it. I think it's something that's lost on, I think, people today. America is not about this section and this group and that group, but it's the whole that makes it. And when it comes to the point when I think it's now, because you know, maybe that's part of my distress now, and I listen to the news and I hear how there's people that say, well, America, you know, this is not America. We're not America. America's dead and stuff like
or
this.
Or even death to America.
Or yeah, it's, I was trying to clean it up. I didn't want to say.
Yeah, no, you hear
but,
that.
But, you know, I can't understand that. I mean, you're in this country. My God. I mean, if you really. Well, I don't want to know. I didn't want to take it this way.
But I know I'm convinced we're dealing with really conflicting ideologies. Yeah. And
I would say sickness. I think it's a sickness.
Well, I do. I certainly do believe. I didn't believe before, but I do really believe that there are radical, extreme forces mm-hmm. out there that are communistic, socialistic, communistic, atheistic. I mean, it's the attack on the family, the attack on the church. This is just the beginning. If mm-hmm. What really bothers me is the what's happened to the police.
Yeah.
That yeah. they, I mean, anybody, God bless them, you know, and yeah, there's bad apples everywhere. I mean, it's in the priesthood and the police force and any walk of life, any vocation, any profession, you can find fault and sometimes major issues. But generally speaking, you know, this whole idea to defund the police or abolish the police.
I don't understand it. What are you saying? Get rid of it. Then who's going to do this? Who's going to do the protecting? You know, and then in this case, if then you do say that, then, you know, there's also a matter of, okay, well, let's take away people's guns. So who defends whom?
Yeah, that's why I say it boggles my mind because it's non-commonsensical. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And in fact, we'll get into that in a moment. But if I can just go back to the courting customs mm-hmm. of this group within the ultra-Orthodox mm-hmm. Jewish community, you only have 3 dates.
Yeah. This was interesting.
Max, it could go 4 to 5, but mm-hmm. if it goes beyond that, then there's a question mark right. as to, but you can't, you know, the man, the woman, they don't touch each other and they meet mm-hmm. in a public place, so that they're visible to others, and they just they talk to each other and they try to get to know each other, and a lot of them have matchmakers, you know, that try mm-hmm. to match up these different. People and all that. And but it's really interesting. And then if something clicks, if there's a certain chemistry, if there's a certain, you like what you see, you like the thought, you know, there's an attraction. It's multifaceted. But if it doesn't happen, well, then you don't have you don't have another date, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have one date and you say, no, this isn't. Now this is not for me, this man or this woman. But if there's something there, then you have another date. And they only last 45 minutes to an hour, 30, mm-hmm. 45 minutes, an hour. They're very short.
And it's interesting how you could know another person by 45 minutes of just speaking.
Well, yeah, it is, but it's I find it interesting. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting. And if the two decide, yes, we would like to get married, then they present each other to their families, mm-hmm. and then the families meet, and they all kind of, it's a mutual
blessing, I guess.
Agreement and a blessing, you know, and the wedding happens not too long after that, and but I think what it is, they approach it not so much from they're not possessed by their own feelings, mm-hmm. but they're trying to, you know, they're thinking in a rational way, in a reasonable way, about what constitutes life and what constitutes marriage and family, and so they don't want that there be this this physical, just purely physical chemistry that brings them together. But they want it to be thought out. But they don't. But you just don't have a lot of time to think about it, you know. So I don't know. I find it very interesting, and the whole ceremony, the wedding ceremony, mm-hmm. and all that. And But I was watching the other day too a documentary on the gypsies, because I find the gypsies very fascinating, really fascinating, and there are different groups of gypsies, and I don't even remember the name. This was a group in, I saw two. One was a group in Romania, and another group, a lot of gypsies come from Romania, and then another group in Russia, and I think also a group in Hungary. And that's fascinating as well. But, you know, they one of these groups, they already at the age of 10 to 15, they'll marry a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't live together or sleep together until they're older. But they, you know, so it's just very interesting. I don't know. But it, aside from that, it's the other part of it is the way they have festivity, the way they celebrate a life. I guess what I'm trying to say is that we seem to have lost certain beautiful traditions that would identify us as a people. Whether you're Italian, whether you're Polish, whether you're Irish, you know, even the kind of food you eat, the kind of how you dance, what kind of music you listen to, the relationships you have within the family and the broader family, the immediate family and the broader family. It's where, you know, people used to live in the same building. You know, you'd have your cousins and your grandparents and all that. And while it still may exist, it's certainly not that we're such a mobile society, but also because of the effect of social media and all that. Well, see, that was the other thing they were saying, especially with this, and even the way they dress, you know, because this is a kind of a bohemian, gypsy bohemian type, all these, the kind of clothes that they wear. It's very, very colorful, very... there's just something you kind of like these are nice things to see. You know, I tell you, speaking of the Amish, so when I was recuperating in Rochester, Rochester is surrounded by just beautiful hills with farms, and the Amish, there's a lot of Amish. And so I was staying with these sisters, Catholic nuns, who are in a very traditional full habit. So, you know, it's the long dress and the veil and the face is not covered completely, but they're completely, it's the old, you think of the bells of St. Mary's or, you know, the old habit. And so there were five of the sisters, I think four or five. And so we would often take rides and all that. And we went to visit the Amish. They have what they call an auction. It's an auction because they make furniture and they bake goods and they do, you know, there's just their crafts. Right. They present them and people come from all over and they bid on certain furnitures, rocking chairs, beds, and it's all made by hand. And, and you know, so we went and it was really surreal. So I was dressed as a priest, and they were dressed as nuns, you know, so we weren't conscious of who we were, but we were very conscious of who they were, because they have very distinct garb that they wear. It's like going back into the 19th century. And what was interesting, and then, of course, there are the normal people. When I say normal,
normals.
I mean, Americans and all that who are there for, so the place was full. And so when we walked in, all of a sudden they were all looking at us, and I didn't click, you know, that what is normal to us was not normal to them. So we were odd, not only to the Amish people, but also to the American people who knew, of course, that we were Catholics. In religious orders, but it was just a very interesting dynamic, especially from the Amish. Because I mean, it struck me too as I as I saw the dress of the Amish and how the women, they stayed in a certain part, and the men, you know, it was really quite fascinating. But they were equally as mesmerized, if you want to use that word, by our presence right. there as well. And so their eyes were watching us wherever we went. You know, it was interesting. But anyway, it's I don't know how we got into that, but it's
traditions.
Tradition, yeah. We'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll say a prayer, and then I want to go into this the homily that I had on Sunday, and bring some of this into it's somehow related. We'll see how it's related, and then maybe talk a little bit about prayer. It seems like a kind of a tired Tuesday, but it's just been a very busy Tuesday already for me. And it was and I say the other thing that's going on right now too is the weekends. We are back to full weekends.
Imagine
it is, and this is going to be, you know, I don't see an end to it, because see all the cancellations that happened during the pandemic, they're all coming back now. So we're doing lots of memorial masses, people who couldn't have a funeral mass a year ago or during the lockdown, and that lockdown went on for some time. You know, during that time, weddings were canceled, quinceañeras were canceled, baptisms were canceled, and so our calendar is just really full. So Saturday, I had a memorial mass, I had two quinceañeras, we had the baptisms, I had the evening mass, and then, of course, Sunday, the full schedule. And then we're going into Holy Communions, confirmations, and we've got a lot of that. And the other thing we've done, which is really, really nice, but it makes it busier here, too, is we're having entire families that have been catechized, and we're having, family baptisms. So I had one just a couple of weeks ago. It was really, really beautiful. So the mother and her three children were all baptized, and they're going to be confirmed. And I've got a number of these, a group of 20 people that are coming. It really is nice. And what it's done is it's taken catechesis into the home, and our catechists are working with the parents. And so we meet them where they're at, and we work with the parents. And they work with their children. And often what's happening is they're bringing in their nieces and nephews or grandchildren and all that. And so we've neglected this, but now it's time to teachers are the parents are primary teachers. And so before, everything was left to the nuns and the priests. Then when the nuns were gone, basically it became, you know, the lay catechists, as you and your wife are, and because you're part of it, you guys are in this, and so you'd have the students brought to the parish, to the school, or to the rectory for their classes on Sunday. Then they'd go to mass. Now with the lockdown, and this is something I wanted to do this long before, be more creative in the area of catechesis involving the parents. And so now we took advantage of the opportunity to revamp the whole catechetical program, and the catechists work not with the students but with the parents. And when it comes time for Holy Communion and confirmation, I don't know whether that's going to happen this year or if it's going to happen next year, but there will be some classes that will be offered directly to the students. But what it does also is that the families have to come to Mass, and so we see more families at all the Masses. Whereas before, the parents would drop the children off for the classes, and then from the classes, the catechists would bring them over to the church, and they'd be together for the Mass, and the parents would then pick them up after Mass. Well, that's not that, you know, you're kind of defeating the purpose. Yeah. You know, we want the families, the parents, to take responsibility. And so now they are, and it's been interesting, but it's keeping us busier and as well, because we're doing more group baptisms, family baptisms, and the like. So, but it's meeting people where they're at, and people see, the thing is, people kind of intuitively know that something's really not right in society, and what am I going to do to salvage or save or lay a foundation for my children. How are we going to counter this, the kind of societal, radical secular indoctrination that is powerfully infiltrating the society, so much so that God seems to be completely out of the picture, and yet we're made by God for God, so it should be very natural that we have relationship with God, and all cultures have naturally relationship with God and develop traditions around that relationship and ways to pray and all that. And so it's really having to be proactive in countering the radical secularized society. And so going back to what you were saying initially, what's going on, and why, you know, pitting this group against that group, and what is the agenda? What is the who are the powers behind all this? What's stoking this this racism or this divisiveness or this rioting or protesting that proves to be rioting, but you're not supposed to say rioting. You're supposed to say protest, peaceful protest, when it's anything but a peaceful protest. When you see businesses being ransacked and burned, bottles and cans of soup and weapons and how is it that we can't get a grip on this? How is it that we can't put a stop to this? And how far does it go before things really are radically changed? And it's really a small group that seems to have control of the entire nation, you know? And it's frightening. And a lot of people are frightened and they don't know what to do. Anyway, take a break. We'll be back. And don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
We are the students of St. Stan's Lakoska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to eighth grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit sdstanschicago.org for St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
A handy tool used by so many ideologues today is the kidnapping of very potent words whose real meanings are then diluted, stripped, and redefined. The finished product of this phonetic manipulation is a club, which is then used to bully and force an agenda or ideology. The word accept is one such club of intimidation. You have to accept me, or you don't accept me as I am. You're judging me. One young adult who practiced a lifestyle inconsistent with his Catholic heritage recently told me that he had to leave the Catholic Church because he flourishes where he is accepted. We have to be bold enough to start taking back words with potent meanings that have been commandeered today. We do this by asking questions like, so what does it mean to accept someone? Should we accept the perpetration and cover-up of clergy sex abuse because we are to accept someone as they are and not judge anyone? What about other forms of criminal, harmful, inconsiderate, or irresponsible behavior? Yes, we are supposed to accept every person as just that, a person. And as St. John Paul II reminded us, the only honest response to a person is love and responsibility. Precisely because we accept someone's personhood is why we should not accept any other behaviors that would be harmful to them or to others, even if they themselves do not see that at the time. So it is with boldness that we should say, yes, I accept you as a person, but I do not accept nor will I affirm you in fictional and delusionary behaviors such as transgenderism or same-sex marriage. True compassion is a function of truth. True acceptance is a function of having the courage and discernment to love the person enough not to accept that which prevents them from becoming the best version of themselves.
Welcome back, everybody. Boy, I tell you, that's pretty
deep.
Powerful.
That's deep. Father Loy, and that's
God,
deep.
God bless him. So true. Wow. Let's pray, okay?
So,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
Pray for us.
Refuge of sinners.
Pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted.
Pray for us.
Queen of help of Christians.
Pray for us.
Queen of angels.
Pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs.
Pray for us.
Queen of prophets.
Pray for us.
Queen of apostles.
Pray for us.
Queen of martyrs.
Pray for us.
Queen of confessors.
Pray for us.
Queen of virgins.
Pray for us.
Queen of all saints.
Pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin.
Pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven.
Pray for us.
Queen of the most holy rosary.
Pray for us.
Queen of the family.
Pray for us.
Queen of peace.
Pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world.
Spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world.
Graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so I want to go back to Sunday, and I don't have the readings, but I've got the as we go along, and this is where I didn't get a chance to pull all this together after the funeral, because I was they did the viewing of the body in the church before, and so it started quite a bit late. In any case, you know, this is extrapolating from sacred scriptures. We, as a church, heard this throughout the world on Sunday, but we're blessed. We're blessed to be members of a sacred drama that has unfolded since the beginning of time, and it's imperative that the story be told and retold, lived and relived, to safeguard the present time, which is our time, the only time we have, a little bit of time, and to prepare for the time when our progeny or our descendants will take their place in God's history, to build on what has been handed on to us. I guess that's why we started, we were talking about tradition and culture, and we're part of a living tradition, a sacred drama. Now, during we're in the Easter season, and so many scripture readings carry the tone that was expressed by Peter in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles that we heard on Sunday. And he begins a letter, the letter of Peter, identifying God as a God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, who is revealed and glorified in Jesus. And Peter chides strongly his fellow Jews for having denied Jesus and handing him over to Pilate, who wanted to release him, actually, giving them a choice between Jesus and Barabbas. And their choice was Barabbas. The Jewish people, as the reading goes, as we know from history at that time, the Jewish people denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released instead. And so, and Peter is very clear about the identity of Jesus, calling Jesus the author of life who you put to death, who the Jews put to death, but was raised by the Father. Now, his strong indictment of his fellow Jews is softened a bit when he acknowledges that they acted out of ignorance and perhaps had forgotten what had been announced beforehand through the mouths of the prophets that Christ would suffer. Christ the Messiah means the Messiah. Peter calls his fellow Jews to repent and convert, that their sins be wiped away. That's the gist of the first reading. As I've mentioned many times before in the past, and we just have to keep this always before us, we must understand that the primitive church, that means the very first church, was exclusively Jewish, because from the Jews, the Messiah would come and establish a universal and eternal kingdom. So God, in his divine providence, as he, that's why I often say that, you know, when we speak about our history, we don't go back 2,000 years. We have to go back 4,000 years, really go back to the beginning of time, right? But God really begins to reveal himself in a very specific way for a very specific purpose to Abraham, that he's going to build a nation, form a nation, a people, and forming this people, because from this people, the Messiah would come and go out to all nations. And so from the Jews, the Messiah would come and establish a universal and eternal kingdom. Now, the kingdom is identified by the word Catholic, which means universal. And so by virtue of baptism, we are members, not of an institution. The church is an institution insofar as she's in history, but we're not members of an institution per se. If you limit it to that, it would be like being part of a body, institution would be a body without a soul, right? We're not part of a club. We're not part of a social organization, but we're rather members of the mystical body of Christ, the church. We are Christians. That means we're followers and imitators of Jesus Christ to the glory of the Father and the edification of others, the building up of others. So in this, it's a process, our purification, our transformation, our sanctification. These are God's work in us, but we must remain receptive and open to the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? This is really, really important, because next week, there's the statement in Scripture that Jesus is our salvation, and there is salvation from no one else. He is the only way. And the church also is the sacrament that mediates the grace, salvific grace. Eventually, how does this relate to those who are not a Catholic or a Christian or who are not believers in or followers of Jesus? I mean, I'll try to unpack that later, as we move along. But the point being that Jesus, all his apostles were Jewish. The Blessed Virgin Mary was Jewish. All the early followers were Jewish. It was really with the Apostle Paul who became, Jesus appeared to him, he was a persecutor of the Jews. So when we say Paul was a persecutor of the Christians, understand that these were all Jewish. These were Jews who had accepted Christ as a Messiah. And Paul was he set out to persecute, to participate in the martyrdom of his own people who had accepted Christ as the Messiah. Paul did not until Jesus appeared to Paul, and he says, Paul's name was Saul. He says, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul was blinded, and he said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, and you're persecuting me because you're persecuting my body. He's the head, we're the body. And so this was the great conversion of St. Paul. So Saul was given the name Paul, which signifies a new mission. And he goes to Damascus, and he spends quite a bit of time there in a kind of a period of formation. And then he becomes a great apostle to the Gentiles. He's the one that was really and challenged Peter, the head of the church, you know, that we've got to move beyond Judaism, beyond. We got to go out to all the nations. As Jesus said, we got to be obedient to the, you get the point. And Peter, you know, God bless him, but he, and think about this as well, people, the Christians went to synagogue. They went to synagogue because they had no reason to leave the synagogue because they were Jewish, and Jesus was Jewish, and the Messiah was Jewish, and they accepted Jesus as the Messiah. But for those Jews who didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, eventually those Jews were kicked out. You know, so the Jews would the Christians would go and they would celebrate the synagogue on the Sabbath, the Torah, the reading of the Torah, and then on Sunday they would celebrate the Eucharist, you know, and then eventually as they are no longer permitted in the synagogue, because you didn't have the gospel, you didn't have the New Testament, they were already celebrating the Holy Eucharist before the gospels were written, and even before the gospels were written, the epistles, the letters are being written. And so they would, when they went to the, as they brought the synagogue service into the Eucharistic celebration, then you've got there the blueprint of the Mass, which we really have on the first day of the resurrection when Jesus meets those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We have a blueprint to what would constitute the Holy Mass. And what they would read is they would read from Scripture, the Torah, from the Psalms, the prophets, but they would also read the letters that were being circulated, letters of St. Paul, letters of St. Peter, letters of St. John and James. So it's very fascinating how it all evolves. And there were many Gospels, by the way, you know, but it was only a couple of hundred years later before the four Gospels were canonized as the Gospels that codified in the New Testament, those Gospels and then the various letters, epistles. But so on Sunday, John in the second reading, was an epistle, one of the letters, reminds us that the world, he was reminding the Christians of his day, as he's reminding us today, that the world will know we belong to Jesus if we keep the commandments. And John, like Peter, strongly warns us that if we know Christ but do not keep his commandments, we are liars. This is the word he uses. We are liars, and the truth is not in us. But if we keep his word, the love of God is truly perfected in us. And he says truly perfected. So it's a work of a lifetime. We're being transformed. We're being purged, transformed, sanctified. But we have to be open to that inner working of the Holy Spirit. And then in the gospel, the universal reign of Jesus Christ begins when Jesus appears to the disciples. He summons them to peace. They're to be instruments of his peace, showing himself to be very much alive, reminding them of their religious history. You know, don't forget, everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms were written to be fulfilled. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. We can't, as Catholics, as Christians, we can't know who we are apart from the Hebrew scripture, because it was all, as we always say, we begin with Jesus and read backward. The Jews, they read forward. They're still waiting for the Messiah, those Jews who did not accept Jesus as a Messiah, as a Christ. And so Jesus said, you know, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations. See, the tragedy of our day, okay, we'll take a break, Nick. We'll pause here, take a break, and then we'll come back and wrap up. So just hold on right there. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy offers excellence by educating the mind, heart, and spirit of your child with faith, virtue, and honor. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Anyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten through 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago, one block north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit ststanschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this. It feels like I don't want to say a lazy Tuesday. It's just been a very busy Tuesday, so I feel a bit lazy at this point. But anyway, kind of to wrap up the tragedy, and this goes back to our initial discussion. But the tragedy of our day is, this is collectively speaking, is that much of the world has severed its ties to the past and no longer recognizes the centrality of God as the author and the giver of life, who gave us commandments to safeguard the proper ordering of life and has offered the second person of the Holy Trinity as Lord and Savior of the world. this is the tragedy. It's a severing, and maybe this is a temptation in every generation, and maybe because we've you know, cultural boundaries have been in many ways because of the media, because of technology, obliterated the seductive and the deceptive and the illusory power of the enemy is really captivating people, and then the nefariousness, the insidious, the evil that is behind this is it's if we're not nurturing, cultivating the faith, if it's not this is why it's so imperative that we know where we've come from. That's why Jesus says to the apostles, and Peter says to his Jews, his fellow Jews, you know, what was written, what was not, what look, we got to look at it. In fact, I'll tell you, Matthew, his gospel is written specifically for the Jews to show that, you know, all this was foretold. It was all prefigured. The whole of the Old Testament, the whole of the Hebrew Scripture is a preparation for, and it all comes to fruition in Christ. You see, as Catholics, we're not above our ancestors, the Jews, who are the apple of God's eye, as Scripture says. They're our elder brethren in the faith. We wonder why the peace Jesus offers is so little known, and why the world is an increasingly dangerous place. And I think most people who have their eyes open and ears open, they, because I hear this everywhere I go, this is all surreal, what's happening? But the answer is obvious. We've chosen Barabbas over Jesus. Barabbas is a murderer. Jesus says, again, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. Fear, rather, that which can kill the soul. Jesus says, if you deny me, I deny you. I have to deny you because I have to respect your freedom. Love is free. A free gift, but it comes at a great cost. He says, but if you're unfaithful, I remain faithful. I'm here waiting. I will always be here waiting. See, we all have responsibility to form each other in the faith of our saintly ancestors who wisely feared the Lord and kept the commandments so as not to offend God and safeguard the proper ordering of life. If we choose daily to be renewed in the faith, to remember from where we've come, to whom we are indebted, there's a possibility we can survive and rise above the sad crisis of faithlessness that disturbs the tranquility of our worship and leaves our young people floundering in illusions that leave them empty and lonely. Tradition, personal responsibility, discipline, courtesy, generosity, prayer, sacrificial love are in dire need of rediscovery. The Holy Eucharist, the Sacrament of Reconciliation, are the pledges of Christ that he means to wipe away our sins and that the face of God will shine upon us anew. Is God's face shining on our nation in this day, in this our time? What do you think? Thanks very much for being with us. Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the way? appear strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.